Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Let's just go ahead and get it out of our systems, all right? We just need to do a cry of no. Let's just say that we're sorry about the hokey game last night. Let's just scream out no, all right? One, two, three. No. Okay, it's out of your system. We're here. Welcome to North Star. We're really glad that you are here to worship with us today. It was a late night for a lot of people, as evidenced by so many empty chairs this morning. But you guys are here, and so we're so thankful for you being here to join us this morning. Today is an exciting Sunday for North Star. Once a year, we have what we call our annual covenant renewal service. And it is an opportunity for us as the people of North Star to remind ourselves of who we are as a church. And so let me kind of set the stage for what we'll be looking at this morning in God's Word together. But the reality for us is that we are a church that is a covenant membership church. And what we mean by that is that we enter into a covenant before the Lord and with one another when we join this church, that we are going to fulfill certain things as followers of Jesus Christ together. And so covenant renewal is actually an opportunity for us to come together on one Sunday each year, and we clean our membership slate. We kick everybody out of the church. It's kind of a strange thing. We're starting at ground zero this morning. And so at the end of the message, I'll be issuing an invitation for our current members to pick up those membership covenants that are in their seats, and they will sign those covenants for one more year, renewing their membership. And I'll explain in the message this morning why we do what we do. But part of that is because we want membership in our church to be meaningful. We don't want it to be something that you come and you join the church and then your name is on some kind of a church roll and that it can exist there forever and ever and ever, whether you're involved or whether you're serving, whether you're pursuing your love relationship with God or not. Is that we really want our membership together before the Lord and with one another. We want it to be significant. We want it to be meaningful to us. And so let me kind of describe for you, and you'll see back up on the screen behind me, some reminders of what this does for us. And so the very first reminder is covenant renewal helps us to embrace our identity as the people of God. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to that church, and he describes to them, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the church is the body of Christ. And so even though Jesus rose again from the grave, he lives in heaven today, we are his body. We are his hands and his feet. We are his mouthpiece in this world today. And so we remind ourselves that we're the body of Christ, that we're connected, and that we have purpose together. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is wonderful about reminding us that we can't exist on our own. A Christian can't accurately reflect the glory of God by himself or by herself. We need one another. We were created to belong together. The second thing that we remind ourselves on these Sundays is our unity as a church. Unity in a church's identity and in a church's mission helps propel it forward. When we are one in theology, when we are one in heart, when we're one in esteem for one another, when we are one in understanding our purpose for existence as a church, it propels us forward in service to our neighbors and to the nations, and it also propels us forward to share the love of Jesus Christ with other people. And so we want to understand our identity, and we want to understand exactly what it is and how important it is for us to have unity together. And the third thing we remind ourselves of is our mission. God has assigned the church the task of continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And then in John 20:21-20, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So we have the exact same mission that Jesus did. We exist as a church to seek and to save the lost through the gospel of Christ. And then fourthly, we remind ourselves on these days that our focus is all about God's glory. It is not about building a great church. It's not about having all these incredible small groups. It's not about contemporary worship or expository preaching. It's not about service events in the community. Our focus as North Star Church is to give God glory. Bottom line is to make sure that Jesus Christ is magnified. The church is not to call attention to itself, but to Jesus. And so we preach the gospel. We preach the gospel daily to ourselves. I don't know about you guys, but I have to regularly remind myself that the old is gone, the new is come, that in Christ, He makes me righteous. It's not my self-effort that saves me or makes me righteous or pleasing to God. And so it is so important for us to understand that by giving God all the glory in the church, it relieves us of the effort to perform or to please Him through religious works and activities. And we really believe that if we communicate the gospel of Jesus clearly, that the love of Jesus will be compelling and that the Holy Spirit will do His sweet work in our souls and make us attractive to our communities, to our campuses, and to the nations. And so we renew our covenants every year to remind ourselves of the identity, unity, mission, and focus of the church. And as we focus, we have some distinctives here at North Star. So let me kind of describe who North Star is as a way of reminder to our members, but also as a way of invitation to those of you who are not yet members. These are some things that we cherish about our church. These are some things that we protect about North Star. It's kind of like our DNA. So one of the things is we want to always make much of Jesus Christ. We make Jesus central. There is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved except through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. So we make Jesus central. Second thing is we are going to be guided by Scripture. It's why we teach and preach through books of Scripture. It's why our organization and our church structure is informed by Scripture. It's how we counsel one another. It's how we speak to one another. It's how we encourage one another. It's we believe that the Bible is authoritative for our lives and that we should organize and orient our lives according to its teachings. Excuse me. Third thing is we expect spiritual growth. We expect spiritual growth. And our church members, we do not want people just coming alongside of us in membership just because they're attracted to some different facet of our church. We want people coming alongside of us in membership because they want to pursue a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to encourage one another in that. And so we expect you to grow spiritually as a member of North Star. Third thing is we embrace joy. We have a lot of fun together. We really do. We were at membership meeting this past Sunday evening, and Jessica Yalung has just rotated off of staff as she's been preparing to have their first daughter, and Justin got up to share. And when Justin got up to share, he said, "I wanted to share from the perspective of a staff husband. I've been able to see behind the scenes more than some of you realize. And so I want to tell you a bit about what goes on behind the scenes." And I think everyone on staff kind of clenched up a little bit. We're like, "Oh no," got a little bit nervous. But then he described us in a way I was like, "Oh," I didn't even pay him to say some of the things he did. But we love to have fun together as a staff, whether it's me scaring people around the office when they walk in the office, or whether it's us putting different things in each other's coffee, or whatever it may be. We love having fun, and so we want to create this culture of joy at North Star. Is that if people look at our lives and they see we're enduring God instead of enjoying God, then there's got to be a problem with that. Even Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is joyful, and so it should be reflected in our life. And then lastly, we create and cultivate a family culture at North Star. We want you to feel like you're loved. We want you to feel like you matter. We want you to feel like you belong here at North Star. We want to be your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we work really, really hard to create a family environment here. And so membership matters deeply to us. We believe that membership in a local church is biblical. We believe that membership in a local church is meaningful. We believe that membership in a local church is spiritual. And we believe that membership in a local church is also practical. It helps us to understand these four tenets, is that membership, we feel like it's taught through the scriptures. We feel like it's very, very, very meaningful. That's deeply spiritual and it's practical as we come together as the people of God to organize, to accomplish the mission of God. And so in January, when we had our State of the Church Sunday this past year, we introduced the theme for 2018, and the theme was basically seek, say, serve. And we felt like those three concepts really amplify who we are as a church, is that we're a church that's called to seek the lost and also to seek the face of Jesus, that we are called to proclaim the gospel, to say it from our lips. We're called to share our faith with others. And we're also called to humble ourselves and serve our communities and serve our world. And so that seek, say, serve motif means a lot to us this year. And so today, before we open the scriptures, and I want to invite you to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and that'll be our text this morning. But there are two reasons and two goals for today's message and also for covenant renewal. The first goal is this, is we hope that all of our existing members will renew their covenants today. We're really excited about moving forward into 2019 this year together, being the church. But the second reason is that there's many of you here who would call North Star Church your home church, that you attend here faithfully and regularly. And one of the second reasons is this is an invitation to you for you to prayerfully consider church membership, to joining with us. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But in Hebrews 13, as we turn there, I want us to focus on verses 7 through 19 this morning. Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 19. And in these passages, it's going to be an interesting perspective because I feel like these passages by the writer of Hebrews, we're not really certain who he is, but by the writer of Hebrews, we feel like these verses teach us how to relate with one another as the church. They teach us how to be the church. But in verses 7 through 19 in particular, it instructs you how to interact with the leaders of the church. And so it's really going to be strange for me preaching to you as the pastor of North Star as I preach to you from the Word of God, explaining to you and reminding myself of your responsibilities as a church member belonging to a local church body and of my responsibility to you as a shepherd, as our staff's responsibility to you as a spiritual leader of North Star Church. And so beginning in verse 7, if you'll follow along with me, it says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. So let me just throw this out there. These passages are incredibly uncomfortable for me. I think I can speak for our staff and also for our leadership board. These passages are deeply challenging to me, called to be a spiritual leader. I was called into ministry after I graduated from college. I thought I was going to be doing graphic design and advertising and marketing. That is not the path that God put me on. And so since I was about 21, 22 years old, I have served the body of Christ in different capacities. I've served as a campus minister. I've served as a young adult and singles minister. I've served as a pastor in Arkansas and now served here, North Star, as a pastor. But I just need to kind of remove the mystery from ministry and just let you know I am an ordinary, very, very ordinary guy. I am a little bit different than most. I am 50 years old, and I still enjoy playing Xbox. I like coffee. I like to read. That's not so strange. I've been playing fantasy football since 1992, back when we had to get the paper out and figure out stats manually. I'm different. I'm weird. I collected comic books growing up, and I still have all my comic books. I'm waiting for the day I cash those things in, you know, and start living high on the hog. I'm a Razorback fan. That makes me really weird. And we played Alabama yesterday, so let's just get that. No! We'll get that out of my system, all right? But I just say all that to say, I am so stinking ordinary. I am a screw-up. I can be irritable. I can be obsessive. I can be compulsive. I mean, you pick your gamut of things, and I can be that. And so when I read this passage where it says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you as you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. The principle here is that church members have a responsibility to know and embrace their leaders. Church members have a responsibility to know and embrace their leaders. And the intimidating thing to me is that you're supposed to watch the expression of my Christianity. You're supposed to even imitate my faith. And that is incredibly humbling and challenging to me as a spiritual leader and to the rest of our staff. I know they all feel the same way. Like, we don't want people imitating our faith because we feel like so many times our faith is so small. And it's so weak, but yet Scripture is really clear, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is a pattern of how you're to relate with me and our leadership board and our staff and how we're to relate with you. And unfortunately, in American Christianity today, church members embrace these two extremes, is that with their leadership, they either follow their leadership blindly, and they have a church that's like a personality cult centered all around this dynamic, charismatic leader. Or the other extreme is we have this leaderless Christianity, and Christians get their faith and get their instruction from the preacher of choice through podcasts or video or YouTube or GodTube or whatever it may be. And so we have this extreme of like you don't question the leaders. You have this other extreme of you really don't have a leader in your life. Your Christianity is just like a smorgasbord of the people that you want to gather up for yourself and allow to speak into your life. And then verse 8, it tells us, don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by food regulations, since those who observe them have not benefited. And so church members not only have a responsibility for getting to know their leaders and loving and embracing them, but church members also have a responsibility to know and embrace the teachings of the Bible. Church members have a responsibility to know and embrace the teachings of the Bible. When it says, don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings, how are you not going to be led astray unless you're studying and you're reading and you're taking in Scripture on a regular basis? How are you going to identify false teaching if you don't know what true teaching is? And so good leaders should always be pointing you to the Word of God. They should always be teaching you the Word of God. Their counsel should be based on the Word of God. You should see that their lives are established upon the Word of God. And I love this expression. The writer of Hebrews here is really talking. He'd been talking before about in the Jewish culture, and Hebrews was written to Jews, talking about how you should avoid these types of food and things like that. And when Jesus came, he declared all foods clean. But there were still a lot of Jews who would live their life based on regulations about their food. And the writer of Hebrews is moving along, and he's saying, man, you should know Scripture. So don't be led astray by strange teachings. And he says, it's good for the heart to be established by grace and not by food regulations. But just take out food. It's good for the heart to be established by grace and not by regulations, since those who observe regulations have not benefited. Here's what he's meaning, is that if you need a Christian list to live by, you are not living through a love relationship with Jesus. If you've created this list of here's the do's and here's the don'ts of Christianity, and if I do these things and I don't do these things, then God is going to be pleased with me. Well, basically, you've just created your own Christian moralism. And you're not living in a love relationship with Jesus, and you're not walking by the Spirit. What you've essentially done is you've created sanctified behavior lists, and you've told yourself, if you behave this way and you don't behave this way, it makes you more approved to God, and so God has to love you. But Hebrews also says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. It's not without your to-do lists. It's not without your holy list it's impossible to please God. It's faith that pleases Him. And so it's the heart that is aware of how much you've been forgiven by Jesus. It's that kind of heart that lives in constant gratitude towards God, and it knows how to bear with the weaknesses and failings of others. A forgiven mind operates in humility. A forgiven mind operates in humility. And when you're busy living by lists and do's and don'ts, and you're not walking through a love relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not aware daily that you have been forgiven. You're too busy trying to don't do the things you're not to do and do the things you're supposed to do, instead of walking daily in this spirit of love and gratitude for what God has forgiven you for in Christ Jesus. And when you live a forgiven life, when you enjoy being forgiven, and you enjoy living in a right relationship with God because of what Jesus has done and not what you've done, it enables you to forgive others, and enables you to live in freedom with others, and enables you to live a gracious attitude towards others. Forgiveness doesn't just rejoice over being forgiven, but it wants others to know and experience the reality and the peace of being forgiven. Forgiveness doesn't just want to enjoy being forgiven. Being forgiven wants others to enjoy the freedom of being forgiven. And so when we embrace list living and we only follow do's and don'ts, it doesn't allow us for walking by the Spirit. It doesn't bring daily sensitivity to the Spirit. The list becomes Lord. It's legalism, and it leads to self-righteousness. And so he says regulations do not benefit. Look at verse 10 through 14. We have an altar from which those who worship at the tabernacle do not have a right to eat. And so he's bringing in the richness of the Jewish faith, and he's calling into mind the temple that is there in Jerusalem. People would come into the temple and they bring their sacrifices and they offer thank offerings and free will offerings and burnt offerings in order to be made right with God. And there would be food there that the priests would be able to eat out of these sacrifices. And so the writer of Hebrews says, we have an altar from which those who worship at the tabernacle, speaking of the temple in Jerusalem, do not have a right to eat. Then he says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering, they're burned outside the camp. Speaking of the Old Testament now, in the tabernacle there, it says, therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the gate so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. For we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one that is to come. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. So these verses, they essentially, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, it's not about living by lists. Let me remind you of how people had to be made right with God in the Old Testament days. They had to bring animals. They had to have sacrifices. But Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. So verses 10 through 14 essentially just show us the superiority of following Jesus. It was written to Jews, and so the writer prepares the reader for the possible ridicule when they embrace Jesus as their Messiah. He knew that for a Jew to confess Jesus as Messiah, they would be ostracized by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so you'll hear him say, hey, let's go to Jesus outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. In other words, he's just saying, don't be ashamed of professing Jesus as your Lord. Remember that he rescued you. In verse 14, he says, therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. And it just means that the person that is saved by Jesus proclaims Jesus continually in praise and rejoicing. The person that's saved by Jesus proclaims Jesus continually in praise. And that's what a church is supposed to be. If we come together as the people of God and we call ourselves North Star Church and we are not sharing the name of Jesus and on our campuses and in our communities, we can't call ourselves a church. We were given an identity with Jesus. We were saved by Jesus. We have faith through Jesus. How can we not share the name of Jesus? How can we not, having experienced forgiveness ourselves, how can we not crave that same type of experience for those in our life who have not known Jesus?
Amen.
Thank you. We are not an amening church, but we need to learn. Let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And in verse 17, I shared this at our member meeting last Sunday night. Verse 17 is probably the most intimidating passage for us as leaders, for me as a leader. But it says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So I look at that, and there's some things that we've heard today. We've heard that you're to observe. We've seen that you're to imitate. And now we see this reality of obey and submit. Man, I'm uncomfortable with that. I mean, you would think that in the role of a spiritual leader or the role of a pastor, that when I realize that a church member is supposed to obey and to submit to me, that would give me a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, because it just means I have a whole lot of people that should bring me coffee when I want coffee. But that's not what I get excited about, and it's not what I'm enamored by. In fact, it scares me. It humbles me. I think I can speak for all of our staff and our leadership board too. Man, it is not ever a role that I ever want to find myself in, to just look at someone and say, you know what? You have an obedience problem to the leaders of your church, not just to God. It's unbelievably intimidating. Even beyond that, the fact that verse 7 says that you're supposed to be watching me and observing my way of life, that you're supposed to imitate my faith, it is alarming. But what's most alarming to me about verse 17, what I shared with our members last week, what's most alarming is that we as leaders will be held accountable for the condition of your souls. Scripture is explicit here. We keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Man, I think that reminds me of James chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment." People who teach and preach the scriptures will receive a stricter judgment. We're responsible for souls, for your spiritual maturity. That's why we believe firmly that Scripture teaches church membership. I have to know. Our staff, our leadership board has to know who we're responsible for. The people that come through our membership class discovering North Star, they're the people who are saying, we identify with this church. We want to commit ourselves to the Lord and to one another to be the church together. And it's those people, the way that we're organized, it's those people that we feel like God has given us a stewardship over, that we are legally the spiritual shepherds of, according to Scripture. That we will be held responsible for your life in Christ. Man, it is intimidating. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says that God gave leaders to the church. It says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. The goal of church membership is Christian maturity. So when you join a church, you should grow in your faith. You should grow in your affection for Jesus. You should grow in your affection for other Christians. The church is a laboratory for human relationships and also for human relationships with God. It's a place that we practice the teachings of Scripture, and it's a place where we carry out the teachings of Scripture. At North Star, we embrace this thing called discipleship. Discipleship is just a word that we use that says we are intentional about helping you follow Jesus. We're intentional about helping you grow in your faith. And so we have small groups and we have a D28 ministry that are explicitly designed for that. But Colossians 1:28 tells us that we proclaim Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we, the leaders of the church, may present everyone mature in Christ. That's our commission. We proclaim Jesus. And our goal is we want to present everyone mature in Christ. And so the members of North Star who will be renewing their covenants today, we invite them back into covenant with us for another year. As we do, we all know what we're saying to one another. We're saying that we are going to glorify God, and we're going to pursue Him, and we're going to seek and save the lost. We know, as followers of Jesus, it's all of our responsibilities to submit our personal life to Him, to grow in our love for Him, to grow in our obedience towards Him, to grow in humility, to grow in service, to grow in our affections for one another. And so we're asking ourselves a lot of questions as leaders this year. What does it look like for someone to be mature in Christ? Like if we were to draw this picture of the mature Christian, what would that person look like? What are ingredients that go into the life of a spiritually mature person? And that's where the challenge becomes, is you might want to say, well, I think a spiritually mature person should be reading the scriptures every day. Or you might say, well, I think a spiritually mature person is sharing their faith with lost people at least once a month. You could say, I think a spiritually mature person is giving at least 10% of their income to the church for ministry purposes. And so you feel that tension that's developing? As soon as we start trying to define what spiritual maturity looks like in a practical way, it turns into legalism. And we don't ever want to paint this picture of, here are the things that you should do if you want to be a mature Christian. North Star is all about being the church, understanding that we are the body of Christ. And so here's our conviction as spiritual leaders, is that if you have asked Christ to come into your life, if you've repented of your sins and you're a follower of him and you're a member of this church, guess what? You have the Holy Spirit living within you. And it is our role as spiritual leaders to help you yield to the Holy Spirit's influence in your life. In every area, in the area of scripture reading, in the area of sharing your faith, in the area of giving, in the area of relationships, in the area of decision making, the area of setting your priorities, in every single area of life, is that it's not our job to come into your life and say, here's what you should do, and create a to-do list for you. Right? Our job is to encourage you to fall deeply in love with Jesus. Because when you do, the Holy Spirit, his presence that lives within you, will motivate you and stir you and guide you and direct you and teach you and remind you of what Jesus has said in his word. The Holy Spirit literally will give you the right desires of your heart. And so as we do that as leaders, as we encourage you to grow in your love relationship with Jesus Christ, we are confident the Holy Spirit within you will guide you into a deeper relationship and walk with him of trust and dependence. Maturity, then, is the expected goal for every follower of Jesus. And that's why membership is so important. You cannot achieve spiritual maturity outside of Christian community. You just can't. You can't achieve Christian maturity outside of Christian community. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and let us press on to maturity. It's like some of you got saved and you entered into community, but you just stayed there. And it's, folks, it's time to grow. It's time to press on to spiritual maturity. It's time to yield to the Holy Spirit and to allow him to guide and to direct and to prompt you to follow him. So I want to invite you at this time, every one of you at your chair should have a copy of North Star's membership covenant. And I want to invite you to look at that. And I'm not going to read the details. Our church members know that there's five elements to this. And everything underneath the elements is just an amplification of the main point. And so the very first reality that we know as followers of Jesus is that in order to join North Star, you have to have received Christ as Lord. In order to join North Star, you have to have been baptized biblically after your conversion. And then you have to be in agreement with North Star's value, strategy, and leadership structure. Just makes sense. You're not going to join a church where you're not in agreement with what goes on behind the scenes. But here's the five things that our existing members have made a covenant before God and with one another to follow. I will cultivate my relationship to Jesus, obey his teachings, and practice his ways. Simply put, every church member says, I'm responsible for my personal walk with Jesus. Jeff can't make me love Jesus. Aaron Peterson can't make me love Jesus. Matt Simpson can't. Neil can't. Leadership board can't. My small group leader can't. I will cultivate my relationship with Jesus Christ. Second covenant is I will protect the unity of my church in Christ's kingdom. Unity is so important. Disunity can tear a church up. But when we say protect the unity of our church and Christ's kingdom, what it means is that we also see ourselves as part of the larger bride of Christ. And so we don't come to North Star and then talk bad about other ministries and talk bad about other churches. We come to North Star and we pray for other churches. We pray for other leaders. We come together as the body of Christ in unity as the bride of Christ. The third thing is you'll share the responsibility of the church in Christ's kingdom. It's no longer the church you attend, but it's the church that you serve in. It's no longer this church that you show up on Sundays for. It's the church that you own. It's these people that you love. It's the relationships here that encourage you and refresh you, and that point you to Jesus. And so you participate in the life of the church, and you're willing to help. And it leads to the fourth thing, is you will serve in the ministry of the church in Christ's kingdom. It's not important that you serve here within the walls of the middle school, but that you find a place in the kingdom of God and you serve there. You serve in your giftedness and in your interest and with your passion. And lastly, we make a commitment to proclaim the glory of the Lord to others and to tell others of His marvelous works. In other words, we know that we're not just here to sit and soak, but we're here to seek and to save. It's about sharing the name of Jesus with others. And so there's pins at the end of each row, and if you're sitting next to the end, will you grab those pins and just pass them down if someone needs a pin? But at this time, I want to invite our church members in this first box to print and sign your name. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward. And then if you're here this morning and you're not a church member, but you're like, you know what? I'm in. I want to be a part of what God is doing through the people of North Star Church. On October the 17th, Wednesday night, we want to feed you dinner. And this will reserve your spot at that Discovering North Star dinner. And that will help you move into membership with the people of North Star. So let me pray for us. And as I pray, we'll be asking God to bless this time of membership covenant renewal. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for creating your church. We thank you for sending your son Jesus, that we who were not a people are now a people. We who were not saved are now saved. And God, as a spiritual shepherd, is so humbling and even terrifying at times to realize the immensity of responsibility. And so, Lord, I come before you, and our staff comes before you, our leadership board. We pray for the leaders of North Star. Keep us in love with you. Keep us humble. Keep us vulnerable. Keep us submissive. Lord, help us to serve your people with joy. Lord, help us to not be discouraged in ministry. And Lord, I pray for the members of this church. I pray, Lord, that you would inflame their hearts in joyful enthusiasm for the privilege that we all have of sharing the reality of forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to be your church, to serve with joy and with sacrifice, to proclaim with wonder and with great joy, God, to serve in your energy and not out of obligation. Make us one, Lord. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to invite our members at this time, if you would just stand where you are and bring your membership covenants forward. We're going to take just about 2 or 3, 4 minutes to do this. And as they come forward, our worship team will also come, and they'll be prepared in just a moment to close us in worship.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.